This is Corolla Digital.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I had something that touched me a lot. I love Batman and I love Superman, but this week I saw pictures of someone named Bat Kid, and I'll tell you all about it here. Check us out at LarryMillerPodcast.com.
Today's CarCast is sponsored by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. For free life insurance quote today, give them a call, 866-347-5748, or you can visit their website at smartterm.com. Again, give Encore a call, see if they can help you save. Let them do the work for you. 866-347-5748. Licensing and disclaimer information can be found at smartterm.com.
Now, it's time for this week's CarCast with your host, Adam Carolla, and moderator, Matt DeAndrea.
I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. Welcome to CarCast. We're here at the 2013 LA Auto Show. Unfortunately, Adam won't be with us today. He's still doing his TV show, but we're excited about taking a look at some of the new cars. Definitely some new things from Jaguar, Audi, BMW, and a lot more. So let's go ahead and get started with our first booth.
All right, we're here with Jose Guerrero. You are the BMW I product manager, right?
That's correct.
It's kind of an interesting title, just the I.
Yes.
So hopefully you'll expand because we have two cars here now.
Yes.
And these are pretty cool. The i8 obviously is getting tons of attention, right? Because it's definitely a sporty car. But the i3, I know you guys put a lot into the i3. Tell me a little bit about that. I know that's just an all-electric car, right?
Yeah, the BMW i3, for us, is very important. It's the first mass-produced vehicle made out of CFRP. So carbon fiber reinforced plastic. We're really proud of that. Very low center of gravity, but also very low overall weight at 2,700 pounds. So we're extremely happy about it. We're able to get 80 to 100 miles just from a single charge. It takes approximately 3 hours to charge from a level 2 charger, and it's really an exciting product. So
3 hours to charge, that
exactly.
Seems awfully fast.
Because of the carbon fiber, we're really able to reduce the amount of batteries that we're using in the car.
Okay.
So effectively, we have a 22 kilowatt battery in it. So with 22 kilowatts, you can charge it quicker.
And so tell me about the electric motor. Does it use a single motor, or is there two? Or
No, it just uses one motor, no gears. It's just single speed at 11,000 RPM. About 93 miles per hour.
Now, does it power the front or the rear axle?
It's a rear-wheel drive, so
okay.
Rear axle, very exciting, dynamic drive. It's a BMW, so it's part of our DNA.
Yeah, has it got some torque?
It's got some really good torque, especially right now we say 0 to 60 is about 7 seconds.
Okay.
And I think people are going to be surprised about how that feels.
Right. Have you tried drifting it yet?
Not yet, but I'm sure that'll
come. Come on, it's rear-wheel drive, you got to try, right?
I know.
It's going to be fun.
Very lightweight, so we're excited.
Okay, so When is the i3 going to start becoming available to the public?
Around April time frame for the East Coast and May time frame for the West Coast in 2014.
Okay. Do you know roughly the price point of it's going to be?
Yes. The base price for the BMW i3 will be $41,350, so $41,350, but without any federal or state incentives.
Mm-hmm.
So in California, example, you have additional state incentives.
Yes.
So all in all, it's about $10,000 off that price.
Okay. So low to mid-30s.
Yeah, exactly. And we're really excited about that because it will come with forged aluminum wheel standard, it'll come with rear PDC standard, navigation system standard, alarm standard. I mean, the car is just equipped very nice.
Now, I know with all the other rules that are applied to cars, things like traction control and, you know, ABS and the braking system we can figure out, how does traction control apply to the pure electric powered cars?
We just made this so seamless with this car. We have something that's really unique. We have a nice, strong brake energy recuperation feeling. So literally, from our estimates, you could achieve about 80% of the car's braking without pushing the brake pedal. As you lift off the accelerator pedal, the car comes to a stop. So this, seamless with the dynamic stability control, it's very smooth, especially in this package.
Now, can you adjust how much of that sort of engine braking it has, or is that...
It'll be effectively your right foot, because you don't literally have to remove all your foot right off the bat. So as you lift off the accelerator pedal, right, you're adjusting the regen.
So it's
braking.
Almost like one pedal. Accelerator pedal does braking and acceleration all at one pedal. That's kind of interesting.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a cool car.
We'll also have an optional range extender with that. So the base comfort mode range is 80 to 100 miles, but okay, we'll also have a two-cylinder gasoline motor from our BMW motorcycles family that we're really proud of. That'll get an effective range of 160 to 180 miles.
Yeah, I'm looking at this giant motorcycle that's next to it. It's probably weighs more than the actual i3. Like, it's got to be close. I mean, that thing is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so now let's talk about the i8. Now, this is meant to be a performance car. It looks amazing. When you actually see this, you know, sitting in traffic going 9 miles an hour like we did on the way here this morning on the 5 freeway, it'll look pretty amazing.
Yes.
This is both gas engine and electric motor. The gas engine is not just a range extender. It actually will power the vehicle.
Exactly.
So you can put this thing in gas engine mode and drive like a regular sports car.
Over 310 miles in normal comfort mode,
okay,
and above that with Eco Pro mode. But overall, it's an all-wheel drive plug-in hybrid electric vehicle.
Okay.
And we're really excited about it because it really has a sports car performance with 0 to 60 times in the 4.4 range, but as well have the efficiency of a compact car. Our early estimates peg it at up to 94 miles per gallon. So you're really getting this extremely efficient car that's arrived as the ultimate driving machine.
Let's take a peek inside.
All right.
I'm sure it's got a mode in it where it automatically selects between gas engine and electric power, but can you decide that as well? Can you say, I want to be in electric or gas engine mode?
Exactly.
So I want to, you know, haul butt on the freeway and just run it in gas engine mode. I should be able to do that too, right?
Yes. So we have an e-drive button. So literally, if you want to maximize your all-electric range, you can push this button and travel up to 22 miles in all-electric and up to 75 miles per hour, actually. So
okay,
it's really usable. It's not kicking on and off. When you select that, it's really communicating to the car that you want to use e-drive.
Yeah.
However, if you want to really push it and experience the sports car performance, you can switch it to the sports mode. And by switching into sports mode, you have all the benefits of both powertrains. So in tandem, all the power, all-wheel drive.
Now, is this largely your carbon-reinforced plastic as well?
Exactly.
Because I'm seeing a lot of it here, and maybe this is just on for display. I don't know if this is going to be what it looks like
this
in the production car.
Both the i3 and the i8, as you open the doors, we want to show the real authenticity of this carbon fiber. You know, the devil's in the details, and we're extremely proud being the first mass-produced vehicle out of carbon fiber.
Yeah.
So this is part of our core strategy in reducing the weight, and really, we're the first ones to really mass produce this.
Now, obviously you guys are making a big investment into carbon fiber. Are we going to see that starting getting into all the other vehicles?
I think not just the carbon fiber, but the overall e-drive technology will also go through our BMW range. It's really an exciting time for BMW, and as we get further and further to the future, we're looking at different applications and the learnings from both of these vehicles.
Okay, so the i8, obviously a cool car. The interior is gorgeous. You definitely sit very low in there. You have to kind of get in it a little bit, but
very emotional scissor doors as well.
Yeah.
As you can see, very light. See my fingers. It's extremely light.
Wow. This car is pretty badass.
Yeah.
So when's this car going to be available?
The same time frame as the i3. So East Coast deliveries in 2014, around the late April standpoint, and for the West Coast in May 2014.
Now, this is a production model right here?
This is a production model.
There's nothing really concept about this. The mirrors, everything, this is the way it is.
This is it. And as we look around the whole car, it has a really efficient design structure. We call it Streamflow Design Language. But overall, you can see from the front, and as it goes through the rear, it has a very conical shape, almost like a teardrop. This is through the study of bionics. We were able to really say that this is the most natural, most efficient way to cut through the air.
Yeah.
So low coefficient of drag at 0.26, extremely, very well for this type of car. Also, you can see we have a lot of air effects. First air effects in the front. We have efficient dynamics flaps. So literally, these flaps over here open and close at high speed.
Depending on whether it needs to block air out or get air in to cool the car. When it doesn't need to cool the car, it blocks it out.
Exactly.
Less drag.
And we have also we pay homage to the BMW M1 by having the hood.
Oh, I love the M1.
Exactly. And over here we have side curtain. This aero effect right here, it takes the air and it really shoots the air out from the side. You can see small aerodynamic ducts up here that shoot the air away from the wheels. So that's the front aerodynamic. We call this design language stream flow. So from the top, from the bottom, it looks like a stream. And effectively what happens is, as you go up to speed, we're able to give the relevant downforce in the rear that typically a car would need electronic flaps and so forth. Exactly. But with us, we're able to do this without any additional weight, additional electric consumers, just right into the design.
I like that it's streamed. It's so smooth, and without having a big wing on it. I mean, people get so overzealous with the big wing design.
Exactly.
And it just creates more drag. It creates sound force, but it does create drag and lowers your top speed, probably your fuel economy, especially because the wing is only really effective at high speeds.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
another aerodynamic effect we have here is in the bottom. If you see, if you duck down, you see the air intakes for the rear. So it's a ram air effect into the three-cylinder turbocharged motor. So for us, we're really excited about the whole aerodynamic package, focusing on efficiency, but still delivering the performance of the ultimate driving
machine. Three-cylinder turbo.
Exactly. Producing 154 horsepower per liter. It's one of the most efficient and powerful engines out there. So in tandem, this three-cylinder turbocharged turbo and this electric motor together gives you that almost 400 horsepower.
400 horsepower. Exactly. And you said 0-60 is like 4.5 seconds.
4.5 seconds.
That's quick.
And it's only going to get quicker, so.
Okay. So, do you think it's ever going to be an M variant of the I products?
For us, we actually have these on the both bookends of our brand. So we have the M products that are focused on performance and motorsport, and I focused on efficiency. But the core DNA, the core ingredients to each one is within each vehicle as well.
Right. So it's still a BMW.
Exactly.
It's got to have that level of performance to it.
I mean, if it has the BMW emblem on it, it continues to be the ultimate driver.
Okay, so what's going to be the price point of this car?
This car is going to be at $135,700. That's the base vehicle. But people are going to be really surprised because literally the car comes with everything. People will just want to pick their color, pick their wheels, pick their interior, and that's it.
$135,000.
Yep. Awesome. $135,700.
Jose, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. This has been a lot of fun. I am excited about being able to drive this car, hopefully sometime soon.
Will do. Yeah, we'll definitely have to get you behind the wheel.
Thanks. Here with Jeff Curry. We're in the Jaguar booth. Jeff, you are the brand vice president.
That's right. Brand VP for Jaguar.
Okay. And we have, this is the car that I've really been waiting for. Yeah. This is the F-Type
Me
Coupe.
Too.
This thing is amazing. And unfortunately, we couldn't get cameras or anything to the event last night, but the launch for this was the coolest launch party. Like, they basically just drove this car like right through the audience, and it was split. It was amazing.
It was the world's fastest car reveal. The car was going 90 miles an hour at the point when we revealed it.
Yeah, so. it was pretty nuts. But now we got it here, and it's going slow.
Yep.
So it's just spinning around. So we have the F-Type Coupe.
Yep.
And I assume this is going to be much like the Roadster, where you have your three engine options.
Correct.
Let's run through those again. You have two supercharged six cylinders.
Two supercharged six, starting at about 340 horsepower. We have a 380 horsepower version in the middle. And with the coupe, we're actually extending the range a little bit and then introducing the 550 horsepower R model.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what that feels like on the road.
No, I can't actually. Why don't you send one of these cars over and then we'll drive it.
You need to check it out. You absolutely need to check it out. Yeah. It's the 0-60 time is conservatively rated at 4 seconds.
I know, but like every car in your lineup that has an R behind it, you all say 0-60 in 4 seconds. The XJR, which is the biggest car you have, is 0-60 in 4 seconds.
Wow.
It has the same amount of horsepower, and it's twice the size of this car.
Yeah. We're a little conservative, so I think you'll be able to go faster than that.
Right. This car is going to haul ass.
It's going to
be
blister,
for sure.
Definitely.
Now the Roadster is like 495?
495 for the V8S, which is the top model in the Roadster right now, which is more than sufficient, but it sounds great. Part of the Jaguar brand is the sound that you get,
yeah.
You know, beyond the styling. It just needs to sound right.
Right.
Too. So.
So, you know, one of the cars that we had on the show that we drove around a little bit as well was the XKRS.
Oh, right.
And that car as well, that's an English muscle car. You know,
it really
that thing,
is.
I mean, I hate to equate it to other car brands, but it's basically like a Shelby GT500, but in a suit and tie.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a really, really cool
car. That's a good way to say it. You know, that car is fantastic. It's sort of the big brother to the F-Type Coupe. And, you know, they both share a lot of characteristics. You can see the relationship and the styling. It's nice to have both of those cars in the showroom because they really do meet different buyer needs.
Okay, what are the chances you'll give us a manual transmission?
Well, you know, never say never.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You have to stay tuned on that. I can't talk specifically about the future, but, you know, it could be something we
look
at. You
are the decision maker. You're the brand vice president. This is all up to you. That's what they told me.
Well,
this
look,
comes down to you.
I love manual transmission, so we'll see what happens in the future.
We rolled up to your event last night,
right.
And Adam Carolla and I got out of the car, and somebody pulled up next to us, and the valet guy turns and goes, "Anybody know how to drive stick?"
Well, that'd be fun to make more of that happen, wouldn't it? So
right.
We'll see.
So, are there any real differences between this car, the R, versus on the Roadster?
Yeah, I mean, we've changed a lot of the suspension tuning, bigger brakes. You can actually get carbon ceramic brakes now on the car. Of course, the engine is tuned 550 instead of 495. More torque, different seats. So there's a lot of performance tuning that goes in to make a true R model. And now that we have the R Coupe, we actually end up with more cars over 500 horsepower than any other brand.
I know,
so
I love that.
It's pretty cool.
Right? Now, when you guys were putting the F-Type together, the plan from day one must have been the Roadster and the Coupe.
Mm.
So is there any real structural difference between the two, or is basically just the base platform was designed with all of that integrity built into it?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I mean, of course, when you design a platform, a new platform, an intelligent, you know, aluminum platform like this, you know what you're going to build into it. So the torsional rigidity, the structure you need that makes you have a great convertible, all that applies into the Coupe. And so they form a, you know, you need that in both cars. And so that's been designed in from the start.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick look inside. Yeah. It's locked, so we can't really open it.
Is there a reason it's locked? We need to get the key.
Maybe because it's on the slide.
All right. Anyway, we should...
If it was unlocked.
If it were unlocked.
It would be gorgeous to see inside.
Yeah. Well, you can see the lines of the car. This particular one has the full glass roof on it, which really gives you that open space on the inside, that feeling of, you know, glass sky, you know, that feeling you want in a sports car.
Must make it feel like it's bigger inside for sure.
Absolutely.
It's not a big car.
It's a compact car. You know, this trend of cars getting bigger and bigger, you know, that's actually not that fun.
Yeah.
You know, cars need to get lighter weight, compact, a lot more fun to drive, and that's what we're doing on this car.
And so how much does it weigh?
This car is about 3,900 pounds.
Right.
So it's for a sports car with that much power, it's going to give you good performance.
But 3,800 pounds isn't really heavy anymore in the day of, you know, a dozen airbags and everything else that you have to put into the car.
Absolutely.
And of course, you want all of the luxury appointments that you expect with Jaguar. Jaguar does the most beautiful interior. So.
Yeah.
And you can see, well, you can't really see, but if you could see, you would see that's the same here as well.
Absolutely.
All right, so as we spin around, I want to talk about one other product you guys have. You have this SUV. Now, this is the CX-17.
The CX-17. It's what our vision is. Let's think about if we would do a Jaguar crossover. So I think that's something that we want to introduce as an idea. You know, see what people's reaction to it is. You know, is it something that people would respond to? I mean, I have to say, so far the reaction's been fantastic for it. And when you see these two cars together, the relationship, the styling, you know, I think you could see how that kind of Jaguar design could fit on a sports crossover.
Okay, so I'm getting dizzy here. Let's jump over to there, and we'll take a look at that. Okay, Jeff, so the CX-17, now this is just a concept right now, right?
Right now, just a concept. You know, we're really testing the idea of helping people understand what a Jaguar sports crossover could be like. What it really does for us is it introduces the new all-aluminum platform that's under the car. And for us, that's very important at Jaguar because it's going to allow us to kind of do whatever we want from a design standpoint and introduce a lot of new kinds of cars. Uh-huh. So the first car we'll introduce off this platform will actually be a new 3 Series A4 style car, or class car, but done in a very expressive Jaguar design, that compact sports sedan that I think a lot of people are wanting from a brand like Jaguar.
Okay. Now, the idea is to probably make this as well. Obviously, you're getting a lot of attention for it. And look, you guys are going to call it a crossover. People are going to say it's an SUV. They're going to say it's a truck. You guys are going to get a lot of flack from people saying Jaguar's a car brand.
Right.
Right. So how do you do this?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's gorgeous. It's
well, that's
really,
the important thing,
it's
right?
It's really I mean, good looking.
We could actually make a car that looks like a Jaguar in this type of category. And I think it's clear there's a big desire in the luxury car space for these types of vehicles. And I think more and more customers are wanting versatility in vehicles.
Yeah.
And just for us as a company, seeing if we can translate all those Jaguar values, you know, making sure it's a real Jaguar, how that would apply to this type of vehicle. It's an important concept, a little bit of test, put a toe in the water, and where it shows like this, where we can really gauge the reaction to the car.
Well, it's definitely one of these things you have to see in person. We'd love to see this thing come on the show and be able to drive it around at some point. I love this. It's so angry.
Well, Jaguars always have a little bit of a performance edge to it, so the growler lets you know when you see it in the rearview mirror, you better get over.
Let's take a peek inside, and I understand that it's a concept.
Yeah. You can see it, see inside it. You can tell the interior space, the volume of this car. It has a lot of room inside of it. The thematic of the dashboard, the very English houndstooth upholstery on the car that's etched leather or hand-cut leather. So it's got a lot of interesting features inside of it.
How much of this do you see being translated into a production vehicle?
Well, if you think about the shapes,
that's the question want to answer, right?
No, of course. I mean, we don't show cars that couldn't be production feasible. So from a concept car perspective, we would only show things that we could do if we decide to do it. That's the same as with the CX-16, which translated directly into the F-Type Coupe,
right?
That you see here. So it's really important to us that we don't overpromise. We really are testing the idea, and I think you could see from a space basis how this could be a really interesting concept if we decide to do it.
I think it's gorgeous. I'd love to see it on the road. It's definitely something you have to see in person, and you'll figure out how nice it really is. Yeah. Of course, people are going to be like, Jaguar shouldn't do it, but when you see it, Jaguar should do it. You should do it.
Good. Right. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
The F-Type Coupe, when are we going to start seeing that on the streets? When will that be available?
Yeah, that car goes on sale in April, end of April. So, the marketing campaign for that car's already started. It'll actually be featured in our very first ever Super Bowl ad that will happen this year. And a big campaign around that, I think it really reflects bringing this great British brand to kind of the most American of stages. And so we'll show a lot of people. I think we'll surprise a lot of people that Jaguar really is this modern British Challenger brand, and we're reaching more and more buyers with that.
And then what's going to be the price point?
So the F-Type Coupe starts at $65,000. It's about $4,000 less than the convertible. And then the mid-range car, the 380 horsepower car, is $77,000. And then when you step all the way up to an R, it's $99,000.
Yeah. And there would be a couple of fun options, like you said, carbon ceramic brakes.
Carbon ceramics,
like that.
The all-glass roof.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great leathers.
I'm trying to figure out how much money I need to go back and ask the boss for.
Exactly. Well, it's actually got a lot of value relative to the performance it
offers. That's going to be my pitch. And they're like, listen, Adam, there's a lot of value, in this car. The performance value is high.
Tell him he can afford it, too, right?
Yeah, except he'll want to keep it. I got to try to get it for myself. Jeff, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, pleasure.
And,
thanks
good luck
for coming by.
Good luck at the show.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Andrew Pulsinelli.
Yes.
You are, give me your title again.
I am the General Manager of Product Planning for Land Rover North America.
Okay. We had the new Land Rover, the new Range Rover.
Yes.
Your the top of the line vehicle. We basically we had that on the show. We had it in the studio.
Right.
Adam Carolla drove it around.
Yep.
Actually, if you watch the video, he drove it to Jimmy Kimmel's wedding.
It's perfect.
And loved it.
Well, this is the car he wants to be driven to Jimmy Kimmel's wedding.
So
this is it.
The one thing that we noticed about the Land Rover and the Jaguar brand is you guys have the most beautiful interiors. In my opinion, the most beautiful interiors. But you've really stepped it up a notch with this vehicle here.
This is the Autobiography Black, which is a limited edition, and it's the top-end trim, and it's very small numbers around the world. We're only going to take 100 of them in the U.S. And yes, we've absolutely stepped it up. There's power everything. There's heated and cooled everything. There's even a bottle chiller in there in the back seat, so you can chill your favorite beverage. Pellegrino, we'd recommend, but yeah. You can do whatever you'd like.
Mangria, probably.
Yeah.
We like Adam Carolla's Mangria.
Okay, perfect.
And this is a long wheelbase version as well. So now you made the big truck even bigger.
Exactly. So I say truck,
but it's not really.
Well, vehicle, SUV, whatever you want to call it. This is an introduction of this Autobiography Black trim level, but as well as the long wheelbase. So long wheelbase is new. It's actually almost an 8-inch stretch in the wheelbase. It's all in the rear seat, so it gives you extra rear seat room, extra leg room.
Yeah.
And it's the proportions of it are so good that customers actually can't tell the difference. We've done a little clinic. It's hard for people to spot the differences of which one is the longer one.
By seeing it just on the outside of the vehicle.
One next to the other. They can't quite figure out what's different, but so it looks really good, but it gives you that extra leg room that lots of people want.
Okay. So in talking about the exterior, what are some of the trim details that make this one the next level?
Okay. Well, the main focus is in the rear seat of the interior, but on the exterior, of course, we've got just little things like these bright accents on the side vents. All long wheelbases come with a little L badge. The Autobiography Black comes with these unique polished alloy wheels. There's a bright finish, polished metallic finish grille and grills in the front. There's some finishers on the exterior on the back. But again, most of it is about the interior.
Okay. You can see it looking at the exterior that the rear door is extended a little bit.
Yeah. You can see it, but you would probably not notice it if it were in black and if I hadn't told you.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it. So most people don't pay attention to that kind of detail. So they would notice the bright finished door handles, but they wouldn't notice that the door was longer.
Right.
Which is an oddity.
Now, some of the features of the interior, we'll be able to peek in there in a minute, but some of the features of the rear interior are, I saw some tray tables and things like that were...
Absolutely. So
and
has,
of course, the bottle cooler, which you got to have.
Has the bottle chiller. It comes with some nice crystal glasses that go with that. It has, it's a two-passenger rear seat, so executive class rear seating, we call it. On the passenger side, it has a power deployable calf rest. They have heating, they have cooling, they have massage. Both sides have the power deployable tray tables. What else am I missing? The 10-inch screens for the rear seat entertainment. That rear seat entertainment, when you're under guidance, will actually put into the back screens the journey information. So when you're under route guidance, it'll show you how far to the journey in the back screen, just kind of like on a high-end airplane flight.
Because you don't want to actually ask the guy in the front how far. You could just find out for yourself.
You could be busy on the phone talking. And part of that tray table that comes up there is a docking station for a tablet, so that you can put a dock in there, and then there's a USB power port so that you can charge it as well.
Okay. Now, when is this going to be available?
The car will go on sale in March in the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the Autobiography Black. Right now, the Autobiography is already out?
The Autobiography on the standard wheelbase is already out. The long wheelbase will also be out in March.
Okay.
So all long wheelbases will be out in March.
And what's going to be the price point of the Black?
Autobiography Black will be $185, or in this special white finish, which is hand-painted pearlescent white. There's only 25 cars coming to the U.S. in that finish. That's $199.5.
Wow. Now, the rear interior, I can't necessarily afford the vehicle, but if I can get those seats in my living room, that would be awesome.
You know what they say, the heated,
the massaging.
You can sleep in your car, but you can't drive your house.
That's right.
So you...
That's right. thank you so much. This has been great.
You're very welcome.
Mark Danke. Mark, good to see you again. We got a chance to chat last year. You had some really cool things out here, but now we've got the RS7. You know, Adam Carolla's wife drives the A7, which is a great car. I love that thing a lot. And, we've been in it a bunch of times. Adam always drives it to different shows. But this is the A7 on steroids.
Yeah, the RS7 is basically, Adam just has to add about 250 horsepower to his current car to get to what this one has. It's 560 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 3.7 seconds. The phenomenal.
It's so fast for a car this size.
Yeah, the phenomenal part about the car is that you can basically beat most sports cars out there. At the same time, you can take four people in the car, and you have plenty of space in the back. So it's amazing with the kind of bandwidth that the car provides.
Okay, so tell me about the engine. We know the horsepower now, but what's actually in here?
So it's a twin turbo 4.0 liter V8. It is a very unique design because we put the turbos up into the V of the engine.
Okay.
And what that allows you to do is to generate heat a lot quicker in the turbos. It allows you to minimize turbo lag, and it also gives you packaging efficiency. The engine in this car is only less than a half a meter deep. So if you're standing in front of it, it basically goes from here to here. That's the size of the block.
Okay.
And the car can still generate, or the engine can still generate 560 horsepower.
So with the turbos in the middle of the engine, it's almost like the cylinder heads were reversed, right? So the exhaust is going up where the intake manifold would normally be.
And then it comes around the side and goes back into the intake.
And goes back into the intake.
Correct.
Okay.
On top of that, though, you have cylinder on demand. So while we have performance, we also have efficiency. And so the car on the highway gets 27 miles per gallon with the cylinder on demand system. For that and a car that can go this kind of speed, we're really proud of it.
Now, it's all-wheel drive.
It's got quattro all-wheel drive. It also has a rear differential that will adjust the power and the torque to the left or right side. So when you're powering out of a turn or through a turn, stay on the gas, and it actually guides you through it and adds more traction to the outside wheel.
I would definitely stay on the gas,
by the way.
Yeah,
you probably should.
Right?
Exactly.
How much torque transfer can it do front to rear? Can it put 100%? Does it ever get to that way, or does it go like 10% front, 90 rear?
It's 70 max on the front, and the normal split is a 60-40, so 60 in the rear, 40 up front.
Okay.
And what that enables you to do is obviously to have great grip when you're just driving. It also enables you to have really good acceleration off the line.
Yeah.
And frankly, it's also very good if you're driving in inclement weather, whether it be wet or snow or anything of that sort.
It must launch like a rocket with that much power. The turbos always make good amount of torque.
Yeah.
And all-wheel drive. It must just...
Yeah, I mean, I work for the brand, but I think I can honestly say that if you get to behind the wheel of the RS7, you immediately have a sense of the car just overachieving and over-delivering on what you think it will be like.
Yeah.
It really is a pretty impressive machine.
Okay, let's take a quick peek inside because I imagine the interior is going to be gorgeous. Any type of diamond stitch or even some variant on the diamond stitch like you guys are doing here, it always seems to upscale the car so much. Like that one added component to the interior makes it look so nice.
Yeah, we have... We're really proud of our interior craftsmanship, obviously, and our designers work very, very hard to just get that really, really meticulous fit and finish and craftsmanship. Part of that is a design element, and part of that is fit and finish. So from a design standpoint, we have a honeycomb stitch in the RS7 seats that mimic the honeycomb design of the grille in the front of the car. You'll notice on this end here, and you'll have to probably pan around with the camera with me here, but this is actually black oak that is lined with aluminum strips. It's not paint. It's actual sandwich layers of black oak and then aluminum. Then black oak and then aluminum, and then cut transversely and molded into the shape that you then see on the dash. It's backed with an aluminum sheet to hold its shape and not warp during temperature changes of hot and cold. And it kind of reminds you maybe a little bit of a really well-fit custom suit or something to that effect.
Yeah,
I'm not wearing pinstripes today, but something to that effect. And we're really happy with that too, with the way it turns out.
It looks gorgeous, and you know that if it was a painted piece, the lines would wear off eventually, right? Somebody's rubbing it, doing something. It's never going to run off now because it's aluminum strips are in the middle. Like,
well,
if it was actual painted.
It just looks a little more technical, and I think any time that you have a material in an Audi, then it is always the real material.
Yeah.
You don't have a fake material that's being utilized. That includes the carbon fiber inlays that we also have available on the car, as well as these.
Now, the RS7 is available now. is that right?
Went on sale basically at the during October, so we've only been on sale for a couple of weeks, and it's, you know, as you would expect, they're flying right off the lots when they
literally
when they arrive.
Going as fast as
they're
they can.
Already pre-ordered.
Yeah, right. So and what's the pricing on the RS7?
Base price is at about $105,000, $104,900, and. Typically equipped probably takes you about 120. Comparably to our competitors, it's about 10, 15 grand more to get into one of theirs. Our car is, for the most part, faster, better equipped, and you can judge for yourself what you think about the design.
And then quickly tell me about this color. This is almost, it looked like it has a metallic base in the paint, but then you have a satin clear coat over it.
It's a Daytona matte finish, what we call it. So we have this color as well as a Sepang blue in our color palette that we have available as a matte finish that we really like to have. You can also see on this particular model, we have three different trim levels on the RS7. So you have a carbon fiber, so it's our carbon package. You get black wheels, black grille, carbon fiber mirrors and sills and things of that nature, and also the rear diffuser and front splitter are also carbon fiber. And then we also have other finishes that are titanium. It's kind of a dark gray that matches this almost perfectly, makes it kind of a stealth car.
Yeah.
And then if you want a little more, I'll call it a little more bling, if you like having a little more contrast, you can also get an alu optic that also has the mirrors, the wheels, and
okay.
the grill.
Now, just out of curiosity, how do you maintain a finish like this? Can you actually just wax it like normal, or do you just wash it?
Yeah, you can't wax a matte finish. You basically just wash it with soap and a sponge, if you will.
Yeah.
Or you just go to a brushless car wash.
Okay. All right. So this car may be a little out of reach for some people. So let's go take a look at something else you guys got.
Yeah,
let's
fantastic.
Go take a look. Mark, we're taking a look at the new A3 line of cars, which is, I appreciate you doing this because you haven't actually debuted these cars yet. You're pulling some of the covers off for us. You've got some more back there that are kind of hidden, but the A3 line is completely new, and you have four new cars in the lineup, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're really proud of this and really excited. We have an A3 model that we're coming back into the market with, and the exciting part about it is that now we get an A3 sedan that starts at about $29,900. That is the white car here, and for those people that want a little more sporty driving as well as a lot of the design elements, whether it be the wheels, the grille, the mirrors, the seats, etc., and the transmission, you get a 290 horsepower S3. The great part is that while we have a sedan version, we also will be unveiling later an e-tron that will give you a plug-in hybrid for people that are a little bit more into the efficiency, but with performance. We do not develop cars that are in any way laggards, if you will. We want people to have a great Audi driving experience, no matter which car they get into of ours. And then, of course, the great part, and we're in Southern California, perfect for this market. At the end of the row here, we also have a convertible model of the A3 as well.
Right. Now, other than the e-tron, these are all powered by four-cylinder engines, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And then you're adding a turbo to the S3, or you're adding a supercharger? What are you doing?
We start off with a 1.8 liter in the A3. You can also get a 2.0. All of our engines are turbocharged.
Okay.
And then we also have our plug-in hybrid that has a split between 100 horsepower on the electric motor and 100 horsepower on the 1.4 liter engine. So really exciting stuff in terms of that. And that's a five-door coupe, if you will. And that car then has a little bit, like I said, a little bit more of the efficiency realm to it. The really exciting thing, I think, for people that are interested in the A3 model line in general, whether you want more performance or you're happy with a base level performance, is that you also get our new MMI system. Before, we've had a MMI Touch where you could write the letters and numbers that you want to dial or enter into the nav. You can put that in, scribe that in. We've now integrated that touchpad into the actual rotary knob on top.
Okay.
And for the first time ever, you have a 4G LTE data connection in these cars when you get the nav system. That then offers Wi-Fi for up to 8 devices. And it's really kind of cool because you expect an entry-level car to, of course, represent represent an entry level to a brand.
Right.
But the interior on this car is exactly what you would expect from an Audi. There's no chintzing. There's no cheap materials. It really looks like like an Audi.
I wouldn't call it entry level. I would just call it the smaller Audi.
Well, it is.
It's really what it is, right?
The previous A4 B5 version, as we call it, for a couple of iterations back, was basically the same footprint as this car, and that has left a space in the marketplace for us to then come in and bring an A3 back in the form of what used to be an A4.
So you're going to have your coupe, you're going to have your sedan, convertible, and then the S3, is the S going to be available in those different body styles as well, or is that just going to be...
The S is going to be in this body style. In the sedan, it's going to look as it does here, with it, and has the great-looking honeycomb stitch on the side bolsters. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of nice elements in terms of the wheels and the grille and the mirrors as well.
So, and this is kind of a big deal that you're debuting all different variants of this car all at once. A lot of times, like the performance version or the convertible or something comes a year later. Why do them all now?
Well, we just fundamentally, that the segment itself is going to be the highest growing segment there is in the auto business.
Yeah.
And we are diving in both feet into with both feet in. We're about driving in the segment. So all of the different models, the different drivetrains. We will also have a TDI model available as well. So you have turbo diesel, direct injection.
Yeah.
You have a plug-in hybrid. You have gas. You have performance. And you have without a roof.
Yeah. And speaking of diesel, diesel is basically something you guys invest in so much that it's all across the board, right? You have diesel in almost everything you have,
we just launched on the A6, A7, the Q5, and that joined the A8 and the Q7.
Yeah.
So you're not wrong in saying that. It's the A4, and that will come in the next iteration of the A4. But yeah, we find diesel technology to be fantastic. As an example, on the A8, you get 800 miles on one tank of gas, and that's not trying. That's with getting seat massage and using your Wi-Fi and having your stereo blasting. So it is a really relevant technology, we feel, for today.
Yeah, I think this is great. I think the A3 is a gorgeous car. And look, here's a car you can get into Audi quality for less than $30,000.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Fantastic.
Let's take a quick break from the auto show to tell you about one of our fine sponsors. Today's show, sponsored by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. For a free life insurance quote, give them a call, 866-347-5748, or you can visit their website at smartterm.com. Thinking about getting life insurance? You need life insurance. Think about the family. Or maybe you already have some coverage and you want a little more. Encore, baby. They got a guy over here, Kit. Healthy, 37, non-smoker, $500,000 policy, less than $30 a month. Why don't you give Encore a call? See what they can do for you. 866-347-5748. Licensing and disclaimer information can be found on their website at smartterm.com. Now, let's get back to the Motorator and the LA Auto Show.
All right, we're here with Mark. Mark, give us your title.
I'm a communication manager at Ford Motor Company.
Okay, and now check this out. We've got this, this is the Edge concept.
Edge concept,
And the Edge is a crossover. It's been pretty popular for you guys.
Yeah, we've been doing great. This year will probably do a record sales year. Really good.
With the Edge?
With the old car.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so now you're debuting this. This is basically a peek into what the new version is going to be.
Yeah,
we
always say that with these concepts. It's like, ooh, this is the direction we're going with a new Edge. And this is, you know, it's got a lot of the design language the team's working on, all the cool new technology. So it's the first time we've taken a ground up change of the Edge. So real excited about that.
Okay. Can you tell me about what you guys are doing here? What's a little bit different on this? And is the powertrain going to be the same?
Yeah, one of the things we're really working on is you look at some of the cars we've launched recently, the design language for Ford, a really strong design language. The face of Ford, a lot more agile, a lot more fresh looking cars. So we're really applying that to the Edge.
Yeah.
We've also got cool technology in this thing. The technology which we're working on, that autonomous car technology, like magic cars.
Yeah.
Where this thing will, you know, park itself. You get out, hold a button down, and it'll park in the parking space. And also,
that's a little creepy.
It's creepy, but it works on, like, not in the real world yet, but in the proving grounds and all that. But everybody says the technology's there. It's maybe the people aren't ready, but it's kind of the building blocks to this future of cars. It's really cool.
And what do you think about the autonomous car? I mean, because our you know, us and a lot of our guys, they're a little bit more on the performance side of things.
Oh, so, totally agree.
So they kind of want to be able to get in there and drive
it. Last time you were in a traffic jam, you're probably thinking, I wish this damn car would drive itself, right?
That's
in a
true.
Traffic jam.
Yeah, because then I'm on the phone and I'm making my calls.
I'll be in the back if you need me, But I think so autonomous cars, you know, it's the future. And some people were saying, you know, in 7 years we'll have autonomous cars. And we're also, you know, in 7 years there's a lot of things could happen. Because 7 years ago there wasn't an iPhone. So, you know, the future, we don't know yet. But we know the technology in terms of ability to park. Have you done our car with the active park assist where it does the parallel parking?
I think it was a feature in one of the Lincolns.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of those building blocks.
And that's weird too, seeing the wheel do its thing. And
well, this is like the next step where you could get out of the car, hold down a button, and the car would move into the spot. So it's real narrow, and you got to, you know, getting in and out of the car.
See, that'd be easier. Because if I could just jump out of the car and let it park itself instead of sitting there and watching the wheel turn. Wheel turns weird, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it going to do...
But this system will work the brakes and the gas and the gear selection, the whole thing. And it's got the sensors, because those sensors are things we're putting in the cars already.
Yeah.
So you talk to our engineers, they're like, hey, we can do this. It's just engineering, and it's hard.
Right.
But the technology's there. It's just, you know, acceptance. And getting, you know, getting the world ready for that. But that's the future.
We've already seen all the, like, the lane change sensors and all the alerts and the cameras and stuff that are on the car. So you're basically just taking a lot of that stuff that's there anyway and applying it to more sophisticated uses.
Absolutely. One of the things we always say is we got to develop technologies that make the drivers safer, smarter, and more efficient. So, you know, you got those things like lane warnings and things. We're making the drivers safer or smarter. We're making them more efficient. You can manage traffic better. So you're more efficient. So those technologies are really important. And the stuff we're building, we're working on, and it's going to come along, you know? It's got to.
Do you ever get afraid that all the 6-year-olds that are out there now, when they're 16, they won't really know how to drive a car?
Hold on. Now, I got a kid. He's learning to drive.
Yeah.
And I got a Fiesta with a manual transmission. So he's spinning his own gear.
You should be able
to. The first time he drove, he didn't like it. But then he's like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping. But I agree with you that you kind of hope cars are always part of the future. These kids have got to love cars. So
your kid... Has your kid ever seen roll-up windows?
No.
They're around.
Yeah, exactly. They don't exist.
Because
the upside down, he's seen a Mustang and he wants that. So, but there's hope.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, when you work for Ford, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, he's got to like Mustang.
And speaking of the Mustangs, there's one of these things where we're at an auto show and it's the one car you probably can't really talk about.
I know.
You know,
we got the current version
because it's exciting.
But
I know
that current one. It's cool.
But we saw that last year. We saw it the year before. We've driven every variant of that car.
But we've confirmed December 5th. You can stop waiting. December 5th. You're going to see it.
Where?
All over the world.
It's
a global car now.
It's going to be
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Actually, if you don't see it on December 5th, I'll get fired. So everybody needs to see it on December 5th.
So the 2015 Mustang is going to be basically unveiled.
We've confirmed the new Mustang will be shown December 5th.
Yeah,
so
it's exciting. People
you guys got to get your cameras out. I'm sure somewhere out in California we can get you guys there. And
Yeah, that'll be fun to do.
Yes.
So you have...
Transit Connect wagons.
So the Transit Connect. Okay, so these things are sweet. You know, Adam Carolla has this wine called Mangria. We need a Mangria mobile.
Oh,
and we've been waiting. So the Transit Connect that you have now is a little small.
Yeah.
And we saw these at SEMA.
Oh, we had all,
And then we had some really tricked out ones. And I know you have sort of a short wheelbase and a long wheelbase.
Yep.
So we need a long wheelbase Transit Connect.
Yeah.
And they're kind of cool.
You need this. Yeah, right? This is going to be all new. It'll be on sale in probably the first quarter next year. So not far.
Yeah.
All new vehicle, inside out. Again, one of our global cars. Really improved the interior. Longer wheelbase. You know, up seating for up to 7, but if you're hauling wine, you can pull everything out and just haul wine, which is cool. So this would be the car. We'll get them in one. Yeah.
We've been waiting for it.
Did you see the Hot Wheels one, too? Maybe that's it.
That one's got that.
Move your wine
in. Yeah. Yeah. As fast as possible.
Yeah.
So we drove, you know, we obviously drove all the Mustangs. We just drove one of the Lincolns recently, the Taurus, the Explorer. But the Fiesta. How about a Fiesta ST? Yeah. How cool is that car, right?
Yeah, that's doing really well, too. And that thing's been great in Europe and in North America. Every market that gets it, I mean, media love it, enthusiasts love it. That's been real fun. And that shows you the EcoBoost engines, what we can do with EcoBoost engines. Because you can make them to be kind of more efficient and help bigger cars. Mm-hmm. But you stick an EcoBoost engine in a small car, and it's crazy fun.
And it's not even just about the power. Like, you have this great engine, and the turbo provides this great low-end torque. You get the gas mileage. Those are all the things you guys have to worry about as the car company.
Yep.
But can you make the car small? Can you make it fun? Can you make it sporty? Can you make it kind of handle well?
Yep.
And we saw that in the Focus ST, which I really liked.
Mm.
And then the Fiesta ST was just like just a smaller, more affordable version of that.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, a lot of people say it's more fun to drive than the Focus ST, but we're really blessed. We got this great group of engineers that know performance cars really well. Team RS in Europe, and we call it SVT in North America. But it's a group of performance guys in Ford that really know suspension setup. They know what a good car should steer, like what it should feel like, how it should corner, and they're great at setting that up. And you know, you can't buy that. You gotta have guys that know how to do that. And actually, all the way to the top of our house, Raj Nair, who's the new head of product development, guy races cars, he drives Mustangs. He actually, it's, you know, if you like cars that drive well, you've got to feel, I feel good at Ford right now. Feel really good.
Do you have any insight on what we can see as far as the SVT brand? Are you doing more stuff from SVT?
Yeah, right now they got Focus ST, they got the Fiesta ST, and Raptors. Yeah. We can't build the things fast enough. So
no, I just off-roaded one.
Really? Awesome. Where? Are you?
In Vegas, just after SEMA.
Oh, cool.
On a short track, jumping it.
Oh, awesome. That's fantastic.
One of the Raptor Roundup events.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, it's great. It's so much fun.
That thing's, I mean, we're selling those things like crazy. Yeah. People love them when that's real exciting. So SVT's doing that project. I mean, do we have more than that? You stay tuned.
Right.
And STs. So and they have
their SVT sort of has their hand in a bunch of these projects without necessarily putting the SVT badge itself.
Oh, absolutely.
On
Yeah. The Focus ST, the Fiesta ST, you know, it's kind of a global performance group now. Mm-hmm. They all work together on developing these cars. So they got a hand in those vehicles for sure. And certainly, you know, SVT. And then, you know, we talked about December 5th. We're talking about a new Mustang. And, you know, sometimes we build performance Mustangs.
And that car will debut December 5th, but it's not going to be available till probably sometime early next year.
Into next year, I mean, December 5th, on sale in 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So is there anything else that we have to look forward to?
Oh,
I mean, I know this is a concept, so this could be a year.
I don't know. It's going to be a busy year. 14's going to be crazy for us. We get these in the market. We've also confirmed, actually, I don't know how much wine you guys do haul around, because we got the big Transit, too. Because this is the Transit
Connect. Yeah, I saw that, too.
The big one comes in a little after these. So you can maybe, if you're hauling a lot of wine, you know, you can go real big.
That's basically replacing the van that we've seen on the road for the last 50
years.
Yeah,
the E Series, which
it's
is
just been around
exactly.
Forever.
But this thing's got, you can walk in. I mean, you and I are about the same height. We don't worry. But big, tall roof. You can pack it full. That's gonna be a neat car. That's been on sale in Europe for a while.
And that's gonna have a diesel.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is a great idea,
diesel,
right?
Yeah.
Especially
exactly.
For commercial use.
Yep.
Like, you can. I mean, diesel's way to go right now.
Yep. And they're gonna build that thing in Kansas City, built here in the U.S.
Awesome.
So yeah, it'll be good. So,
awesome.
Okay.
This has been great. I appreciate your time. We're
going
to run around and take some more photos and stuff. But.
Okay, cool. We'll take everything at Ford.
Everything at Ford.
Yeah, you got to make sure you get all that. So I got to say that.
Yes, we're here with Detlef von Platen.
Nice.
He's president and CEO of Porsche Cars North America.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
And as you were just saying, very German. But French is fine.
I'm a German with a French accent. I lived 10 years in Paris with German parents, but I lived in Paris, so I have this French accent with a German name. Yes, that's it.
See,
and I hope you understand me.
Now you're putting more emphasis on it. Now you're just messing with us. Well, thanks for having us here. We're obviously big fans of Porsche. We've been hitting up your guys and getting as many of these cars onto our show as possible, mostly because we just love driving them. Most recently, we just had the new Cayman S, which is such a great car.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful car to drive. It's so well balanced. It's quick. It's great. It's, I mean, even great gas mileage. You don't even care about that in that car, but it does. But this is pretty amazing. This is something pretty new for you guys.
Yeah.
This is the new Porsche Macan.
Absolutely. It's a big moment for us. And in the history of Porsche. We are not launching a whole new car every day, right? And we started to work on this car because we had a kind of demand from younger customer group to say we wanted some kind of compact SUV from Porsche. And we started to work on this 3 years ago. Completely new car, and we wanted to position this in a very fast growing segment, sport,
yeah,
compact SUV segment here in the United States. And I think what we have achieved is pretty amazing. We can say that we put 100% DNA of Porsche inside. This car will bring the Porsche performance in terms of speed, in terms of agility, in terms of power, and you get all what you want in this compact SUV segment, which is versatility and practicability. We think we can address people who wants to put some spice in their life every day, and we are pretty proud of this. And I talked to our engineers, they are even saying, I can confirm it because I drove that car, this is one of the four-door sports cars we have in our family, which is the closest to the 911 experience, pure driving experience of the 911. So very close to that. That's pretty amazing.
Now, those are big shoes to fill, because people love 911 owners, and I mean the media, everybody that drives the 911 always just regards it again and again as the best sports car you can buy. So to compare an SUV to a 911 is going to be
absolutely.
It's going to be pretty tough.
Yeah. And it's important for us because I remember when we launched the Cayenne 2003, everybody was crying out and saying, hey, what are you doing with Porsche? Yeah. You're diluting the brand. This is not a Porsche anymore. 6 months later, you could see that even the 911 customers, the owners of 911, had some Cayenne in their garage. So this is the best way to prove that Porsche is not screwing up here with other directions. We are a sport car manufacturer, and what we do is always a sports car. And I think this would be the sportiest, the most exclusive compact SUV in the segment here in the United States and in the world.
Yeah, and obviously it's going to come in at a price point that's more attainable than the Cayenne. The Cayenne just being a larger, more robust, more feature-rich vehicle. And I've driven several of them, and I love them, and they're great. And you get performance out of those things that you would never expect. So again, even between it, compare it to a Cayenne or to a 911, and this has definitely big shoes to fill for them.
Absolutely. We are presenting two cars today. We have the Macan Turbo, 400 horsepower.
Wow.
You cannot say no to that, right?
Right.
And another car, the Macan S, and you will be able, as a new Porsche owner, to step into this Macan S just below $50,000. So I think it's not. I wouldn't call it a low entry point. I would say it's another entry point to the family. We have the Boxster. We have the Cayman. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic cars, and I think with this car, the Macan, we are talking to a more young target group, which I think will be very, very important for us in the future.
So what are the engine options? Are they both V6, the turbo, the non-turbo, are they V6?
These are both V6 engines, absolutely turbocharged in V6. One with 340 horsepower, as I said, 3 liter. And then another 3.6 liter V6 turbocharged as well, 400 horsepower.
Okay, and then which transmission options are going to be available?
We have only the PDK transmission. It's a double clutch transmission, which I think is there is no alternative. I mean, of course, you will have some purists coming up and saying, "Hey, we need some stick here."
Yeah.
The car is absolutely fabulous to drive with a PDK transmission. It's a double clutch PDK transmission which has been developed on the 911 and gives a lot of fun and good experience on this car too.
Okay, so tell me about some of the other features on this car, or this SUV rather. I mean, we obviously have V6 power. We know it's a more compact size. It has the DNA of Porsche. It's going to be quick. It's going to handle like Porsche. How are you guys accomplishing that? I mean, is there really, I mean, there's the formula to Porsche, and I'm sure we're going to see it here as well.
I will respond to you in one sentence. We we take the same engineers who have 65 years of experience of developing the 911, all the generations. You take these engineers and you say to them, yes, now, can you develop a new SUV for us, which is a Macan? And they do it exactly the same way that we are doing for the 911. They bring this car in on the Nürburgring, they're driving on the racetrack, they're putting this car in all the conditions. And at the end of the day, it's very important because you want this purest form of driving.
Yeah.
Not only for the 911, but also for this car. This car is carrying the Porsche badge. It has a very strong personality. And this is also one of the reasons why we call it Macan, which comes from the Indonesian word of tiger.
Okay.
Right? Power, elegance, and agility. And I think when you drive this car, and you will drive it, I hope, you will see that this car deserves it. Absolutely.
Now, with these cars, when are they going to become available in the U.S.?
We can't wait for people driving this car when the car will hit the market here in the United States by late spring 2014.
Okay. Now, have you guys done any, have you released any performance numbers on it yet? Do we know, other than the horsepower, everybody loves to know how quick these cars are going to be. You guys tested at the Nürburgring, of course. People want to know how well it does.
I give you one number.
Okay.
This car is
one number.
I don't have the lap time from the Nürburgring, which is for us the most important number. And I say this because we have also 918 Spider here.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right? It holds a record. You know the Nürburgring? When we launched the Carrera GT 10 years ago, the Carrera GT was the fastest car, the Nürburgring, and we did it in 7 minutes, 32 seconds.
Okay.
And you need to know 1 second is day and night on the track, right? We launched this car, the 918 Spider, with a test driver from Porsche, and he did it in 6 minutes and 57 seconds. So it's another complete other world. I believe this car needs a little bit more, but I give you one number. He makes a 0 to 60 in under 5 seconds. So
For the Macan.
Yeah. So we're talking about a sports car here.
Yeah. It is a sports car. Five seconds, 0 to 65 seconds in this thing is moving. That's
and you have everything a Porsche needs. You have composite brakes here. You have a lightweight. Uh-huh. You have wheels from 19 inches to 21 inches. You have even the steering wheel of the 918 on this car.
Okay.
Right? So, pretty fun.
Let's take a quick peek inside. Yeah,
absolutely. So we like this cockpit because this is a cockpit where you feel in the car. As I said, the 918 steering wheel is in this car. We have a central console where you feel driving the car, not be driven.
Right.
And the typical thing which is very important for Porsche, the key is always on the left side, as it should be in a sports car.
Yeah, I know, and I always thought that was great. And I know there's a story behind it and a history behind it that comes from racing.
Yes.
And part of the racing is you get into the car basically, and you have to start and go. And if the key's on the right, you can't start and shift.
Absolutely.
So if you put it on the left side, you can put it in gear and start.
I don't need to learn anything.
Is that right?
You're right.
All right. Good.
Comes from Le Mans. 24 hours of Le Mans.
There you go. The interior design theme that you guys it was basically first introduced in the Panamera, and I love the design. And when we saw that sort of crossover into the Cayenne, I think what was next, and then the 911 and the Boxster and the Cayman, it's a great design. It's a wonderful, I thought, a very functional, comfortable design, and it's great to see it in here as well. And it's wonderful that you can seem to size it up and down however it needs to go. This seems like it's
you're right. It's all about experience.
Yeah.
And you want to feel at Porsche when you enter this car, and this is the case. And I would say we have a very simple test at Porsche. And the simple test is to take a child, which is 7 years old, to bring it in the car and to ask him, what is this car? And when he says, this is a Porsche, then we are on the good road.
That seems weird. Is a place full of like a bunch of little German 7-year-olds running around in the interior going, where you guys are watching from some room up high with glass and you're watching them. It's sort of like a Willy Wonka
factory.
This is
what happened to me and maybe to you. I mean, this is where the love for this car starts, basically. It's when you are very little and you say, well, this car, one day, I'd like to drive it.
Yeah, well, I want to drive it today.
See?
So, okay, well, before we let you go, I got to ask you a little bit more about the 918. This is an incredible new flagship supercar that you guys are developing. It's got hybrid technology about it. And we've seen coming here and interviewing Patrick Long and some of the other race guys and other guys from Porsche, hearing about the development of that in the racing technology. And we saw, I think last year in Patrick's 911, he's got this crazy, like, turbine almost type
flying
device.
Flywheel
in the passenger seat. Yes. And that creates this momentum, this electric boost, almost like a nitrous shot of electricity in this hybrid race car.
Yeah.
And now you're putting that on the street with the 918, is that right?
Yes, absolutely. This car is very important for the Porsche brand because it's very important that we can show, especially in this environment, this political environment where you talk about saving fuel and emission protection and everything, that we can show that the sports car has a future.
Yeah.
That you can still have...
That's important.
That you can still have emotions and fascination and power, but being compliant to what the world expects, right? I mean, you cannot continue to work like having big, big engines. And we, I think, were able to develop a car with a technology, I think, which you cannot find at the moment anywhere else. It's a technology combining the conventional engine and this electrical drivetrains.
Yeah.
And we show that hybrid doesn't mean something which is boring. We can also show that making sure that we are protecting the world and protecting the environment can be fun.
Yeah.
And this car is fun to drive.
Oh, I can't imagine.
It's really fun to drive.
How awesome
and
it would be.
It shows also that hybrid can also be synonymous of performance.
Right.
This car has close to 900 horsepower, 2.6 seconds. 2.6 from 0 to 60. So
that's got to hurt. Like, it's physically got to hurt. Like,
right?
It's so fast, 0 to 60. I mean, what's the limit? I mean, at some point...
Yeah, but it's...
In 5 years from now...
We are close to the limit, I believe.
But, that's the limit, right?
Right, but it shows that this car can have a lot of fascination and also be very close to what you expect from a future car in terms of protection and fuel saving and so on.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. I mean, you can start this engine without any emission. You drive up to 20 miles on purely electrical mode. Very cool.
Actually. But it's quiet, right?
Very quiet.
Very quiet.
And then all of a sudden you want some real power. The engine ignites, you have
fires
everything
up,
there.
Scares the guys next to you.
And you love it.
It's great. All right, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. I know you guys are very busy here. This booth is nuts. And thanks for all the great food.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, we're here with Carl Phillips. Carl, your title is a mouthful. Go ahead and give us your title again.
Chief Marketing Manager for GTR and Nismo for Nissan North America.
That sounds like the fun job at Nissan,
Well, it's
right?
definitely one of them, yeah. For a car guy, it doesn't get much better than this.
All right, so here we are. This is the 2015 GTR. We're big fans of the GTR. I love it. It does so many things that it shouldn't be able to do,
right,
given its size and its weight, but it's just a rocket. And I've driven a few. You guys have been kind enough to send us over a few to the shop, and I've never used that launch control, by the way.
You should try it sometime.
I know, I've used it a lot. I've used it a lot. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We've used it quite a bit, yeah. But never too bad.
Never
it's a lot
anger.
Of fun, right? So the 2015 has, it's not a major change, but it is definitely an upgrade to the existing platform, right?
Absolutely. So one of the great things about GTR is this car benefits from continuous development and improvement. And so really the story overall for GTR this year is kind of stretching the boundaries, if you will. So broadening the appeal and range of the product. We're bringing in the GTR Nismo at the very top end for people who want the absolute most insane performing GTR that we sell. But then even with cars like the Premium that we have here, mm-hmm. we're making this a more civilized, livable, everyday car without sacrificing performance.
Okay. Now, is there been a horsepower increase? I know on the Nismo one you mentioned, I think there is quite a bit of horsepower increase. And compared to the Premium, where are we with this car?
We have not increased the power on the Premium or the Black Edition car this year.
So we're at 545.
Still at 545. Okay. You know, plenty of power, good enough for 0 to 60 of 2.7 seconds.
It's so quick. It's
600 it's so... horsepower for the GTR Nismo.
All right.
Our focus this year on the Premium and the Black Edition was really on refinement. So revised suspension to make the car ride smoother and some significant sound reduction inside through some additional isolation materials, but also mm-hmm. a Bose active noise cancellation technology that really cuts down the noise in the freeway, making this a much more civilized, livable GT supercar,
yeah.
if you will.
You know, you see so many other sports cars out there or just high-performance sedans, and every year they try to top the performance of the previous year. This thing right out the gate from day one was such an incredible performer. It seems like it's more difficult to make it more of a livable, everyday, more comfortable car than it is to make it perform even better. It's already an incredible performer.
Right.
You know, and how do you keep that level of performance and make it easier?
Well, you bring up a good point. When I talk to our engineers about reducing the 0 to 60 time, they'll say, Carlson, please understand, you know, very difficult to reduce from 2.7 seconds. You know, we're getting very close to zero there in terms of
right.
acceleration.
I mean, there's, at some point,
so,
you're done.
So we felt, at the moment, we've got the performance. We've checked that box in
right.
a big way. Let's focus on some of the things that our customers have told us they would like, which is make the car a little bit more refined and a little bit more livable on a daily basis. Because, you know, well over half the people that buy a GTR, use it as their everyday driver.
Yeah.
It's a great car. It delivers supercar performance anytime year-round. Put some snow tires on it, you're good to go in the winter.
It seems like being able to keep those performance numbers but make it more comfortable on the street is actually more difficult than saying, let's take a tenth off the 0-60. Because you can turn it into more of a race car and it'll knock your teeth out, but it'll go faster. But how do you make it more comfortable in the process?
Right.
So that's the big engineering field.
Yeah,
I'm
I think
sure.
that is the challenge, right? How do you do things that make the car quieter, smoother riding without sacrificing the performance? So, mm-hmm. You know, that's really the magic that the engineers work, and, you know, that's why they spend so much time, you know, in ongoing constant development mm-hmm. on the car. And beyond that, there's a couple other things. We've introduced this new Regal Red paint, which is something special. It has genuine gold flake in it. Just adds a real nice brilliance to it.
Yeah.
And then our optional premium leather interiors, we've added a new ivory color as well, which I think complements this
yeah.
quite well.
Let's open it up and take a quick
sure
look,
thing.
Or we'll have Jeff get in here with the camera. But the ivory is gorgeous.
Yeah, so this is the premium interior option, which includes, you know, different grade of leather. It's available in a red, but also this new ivory, hand-stitched seats, leather on the console, door trim panel. So, you know, really just a nice premium feeling to the car. I think it looks beautiful, especially with this Regal red
yeah.
paint.
Yeah, I love the contrast stitching on the dash and stuff. It really adds a little bit of a sort of a luxury upscale feel to it. But such a fun car to drive. This paint is gorgeous. It might be a little hard to see in the video, but under the lights, the reflection that comes off the gold flake.
Yeah, it's got a beautiful sparkle, a beautiful brilliance to it. I was really amazed when they told me, we're going to develop a paint that has real gold in it. I thought, are you guys crazy?
Yeah.
You know, I was picturing like some crazy metal flake kind of stuff out of the 70s or something, but
yeah.
but they really nailed this. I think it's absolutely beautiful.
I know. I bet we can take all the little gold out of here and make yeah. like one good
yeah.
tooth.
And so, somebody
one
said,
good
like,
tooth.
How much is in it? I don't know that.
You don't know. No. You don't really want to tell anybody
yeah.
because you don't want anybody to
yeah, you don't want
thinking.
You don't want to park it somewhere dodgy and have somebody stripping your car
yeah,
for gold content.
There you go. Scrape off a chip of paint, put
right.
it in the meter where you're going to park, you know. So hopefully you can pay that way. So
This is great. Now, tell me about the Nismo a little bit more. The Nismo is, it's not just a horsepower bump. It's
right. So the approach with the Nismo was really the same one we take on all our Nismo products. It's not just one thing. It's complete holistic performance improvement. So I guess you can start with the engine. 600 horsepower, 481 foot-pounds of torque. Right, 55 horsepower additional. Also fattened the torque curve up quite a bit and made it more responsive at the top end. So big power increase, but then it's things like changes to the body. So the aerodynamic improvements for greater downforce. We've added carbon fiber, front fascia, rear bumper, a carbon fiber deck lid, carbon fiber, big wing, all of that to add significant downforce at speed. Completely revised suspension specific to the Nismo edition. So different springs, struts, bushings, different wheel width, different wheels on the car. So brake force has been improved. So really overall, all the way around, and even on the inside, we've added Nismo-specific Recaro seats and some other items.
Okay. So, and where are we now on the price point of, let's say, the GTR, the premium package, and the Nismo?
We have not announced pricing for the 2015 car yet. We'll do that when we're closer on sale in mid-January for this, and then later in the year for the Nismo. But, we think we're still at an incredibly competitive price in the marketplace. There's nobody that can touch the performance of the GTR for anything close.
Yeah, the GTR is about $100,000, give or take, right around there now.
Exactly.
And it's still really, in my opinion, one of the most bang for the buck that's out there. And it's such a great car to drive.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Fun. Thanks for joining us and
thank you for
taking a look at the cars.
All right. I'm here with Hubert Lee. Hubert, what's your title?
I'm the creative director of the Mercedes-Benz Advanced Design Studio in California.
Right? That was long, right? That's a badass job, actually. I want to be the creative director of a design studio. That'd be awesome. So check out this incredible concept, Mercedes, right? You and your team were responsible for designing this car?
Yeah, the design was a joint collaboration with the German studio in our studio in California. But we built the car in California from our studio. So yeah, we're very proud of it. We're happy that it turned out.
Okay. Now, it definitely has a little bit of SLS in it. It looks like it has sort of a going style to it. What's the intention of this car? Was this just a design experiment, or is this supposed to influence some of the design motif of cars that we're going to see in the future for Mercedes?
Yeah, I mean, it has a similar proportion to the SLS AMG. But actually, we had a criteria when we designed this car. When Polyphonia asked us to design a Gran Turismo car for their game, we didn't have they didn't specify. So it was up to us to do something that what we believe. And we wanted to keep the traditional Mercedes-Benz classic proportions, sports car proportions. So it's got a long hood, short deck, drop tail. But actually, we took it a little farther, so the car is a little longer, a little wider than the SLS. So it's based on a modified SLS chassis, but we wanted to take it a little farther. So design language-wise, we want to keep it clean, simple, less is more approach. It is a race car, but at the same time, we wanted to go the opposite direction of most race cars look like. Don't want to have crazy vents, louvers, and diffusers.
Yeah.
We actually wanted to go less, so more pure. And right now we have this new design language called sensual purity, and this car symbolizes that sensual purity language.
Okay. Now, so this was something that you guys originally designed for Gran Turismo, for the video game?
Yeah.
They basically just gave you a clean sheet of paper and said, give us a car for the game. And you figured, why give you one of the cars we already have when we can just tell Mercedes-Benz that we want to do something from scratch, right? And then convince, where do you go from there and then convince somebody to let you build it?
Well, it was, when we were asked to do this, everybody was on board. I mean, everybody got excited, all the designers, younger designers, they were all excited about it, even our bosses. So it wasn't a question of whether we're going to do it or not. It was like, okay, we have this opportunity.
let's create something exciting and have fun with it.
Right. And if you could design a car for a video game, why not design something like as sleek and as amazing looking as this, right? Yeah. Like, it really is extreme. Simply, some of its impracticality aside, right? It's incredibly low to the ground. The wheels do stick out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason why the wheels stick out a little bit is, again, we want to use pure geometric form. So if you imagine a fuselage body, cylindrical body with spherical fenders added on, blended to the body. That's what you see here. And the reason why the rims bulge out so much is we wanted to extend that curvature from the fender into the wheel, so it has a continuous curvature. That's why it bulges out. But at the same time, I think it really creates that nice stance.
It does. It gives it like big shoulders, big thighs, but still being a very, very sleek car. It creates a lot of muscle to it, right?
Yeah.
It's an amazing design. Now, you're saying it's largely based off of the SLS underneath. It's a concept, but is it done, essentially? Does it run? Does it drive?
Well, this particular car is just a mock-up, so it doesn't drive. You can't really drive it, but virtually you can drive it. And I know Polyphony has the car ready to go, and they're actually driving it as we speak. But at the same time, everything, the engineering, all the specs are specified down to the detail. So that's what Sony worked off of. And it has a 5.5-liter AMG twin-turbo power plant, which packs 577 horsepower. All the suspension, everything is all dialed for the game. So I heard you can drive around Nürburgring right now.
Okay.
Now that's what Mr. Yamauchi told me. So
he would know, right? Because he's got the game. What's it made out of? Have you guys? Is this carbon fiber? Or is it aluminum?
Well, it's got the carbon fiber diffusers, but the actual body, the actual show car itself, is fiberglass underneath.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I think you guys did a great job.
Thank you.
It's amazing. I almost want to play the game now just to be able to drive it.
Actually, I want to play the game too. Yeah,
right?
I'm really excited about it. I want to see how fast this thing goes around the Nürburgring.
Back here with Bill Kwan. Bill Kwan from Lexus, thank you so much. Always a pleasure chatting with you. And first of all, I'm just going to say, Bill's one of the coolest guys in this automotive space, not just because he let me track not one, but two LFA supercars. Two LFA supercars on the racetrack I got to drive.
Because
I don't know if I was
awesome.
Allowed to say that on camera because you might get in trouble, but that was an amazing experience, and thank you for that. But now you guys are here to talk about the new Lexus IS.
Yes, all new for 2014. Behind us is an IS. This is a 350F Sport. It's available in the 250, 350, rear-wheel drive and all-wheel drive, and is available with F-Sport package on all of those models, so pretty exciting.
Right. So the F-Sport package adds what to the base car?
A much more aggressive grille, so you get a full face of Lexus, point, spindle grille.
Spindle grille, right?
The spindle grille,
got that right.
All right, you
yeah.
Right. So spindle grille, so a much more aggressive look, a dark mesh color with chrome bezels, a lot more aggressive chin spoiler. You get the dark graphite wheels, and you also get high friction brake pads, and the interior is phenomenal. You get the sports seats, a new process of injecting the foam into the seats versus just putting a cover over it. Your typical seat assembly, you're pulling a cover over a foam, so there's gaps, it's not so tight. There's a new process where actually injecting the mold into the seat, so you get no air gaps and you get the really nice contours.
Okay. Now, at what point of the process did you figure out that this is something that we need to do? Did somebody sit in a seat one day and go, I don't know, the leather's wrinkling or something like that? Like, how do you get to that point?
You know, Chief engineer for Yamaha, he's a total car guy. He has a full setup at home to race the Nürburgring. You know, he got the Xbox going, and he's a total car
awesome.
Guy. He's awesome, man.
Develops cars on his game station.
Yes, you should see him. There's a picture of him with a full race suit with a helmet in his living room.
In his living room.
Yep. So I was like, okay, this is a car guy.
That's right. It's maybe a little over the top. I've never done that before. Never.
PJs, right?
Yeah, right,
your
yeah.
little onesies. No.
There you go.
So,
with the zipper.
Yep, sport tune suspension, so the dampeners, the anti-sway bars. The IS, the front end's been tightened 20%. And because the chassis is so much stiffer with laser screw welding, adhesive bonding, and so forth, we were able to actually soften up the spring rate. So stiffer chassis, softer spring rate, so you get a really nice handling car, but without sacrificing ride.
Right, so it's more comfortable,
mm-hmm.
but that's just because you've loosened up the suspension a little bit, but all that twisting that's been eliminated from the chassis makes it handle so much better. And of course, this the new design, right? You look at the old, the previous LS, or mm-hmm. the IS, and you look at this one, and this has to be basically the Lexus logo, mm-hmm. a little bit into the lights, right?
Very good,
and
yes.
Now the other side is the opposite, but for the most part, it has to be based off of that, which when it's lit up looks really cool, by the way.
Yes, it is. And actually, this chief engineer was very, very proud of the fact that the LED, the daylight driving lights, are separate from the headlights. Majority of the time, you look at the previous generation IS, the DRLs are actually part of the headlight. He was very proud that it gave it a really distinct look by separating the DRLs and the headlights, and it's very sculptured.
Okay. Now, what's the base powertrain on this? Where does it start?
250, 206 horsepower, and then you get the 350 with 304 horsepower.
Right. Now, that one we've driven. I think we've had that car on the show. We've driven that car. And I like that car a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous. It's comfortable. It's like maybe people seem to overlook the IS as, you know, the A4 3 Series competitor because this is the coolest car. It really is one of the coolest cars out there. And Lexus should certainly be proud of the fact that they're always at the top of the quality ratings, you know, like JD Power and all that stuff. You guys are always basically at the top. So, I mean, how you guys continue to do that again and again and again really speaks highly to the, you know, your fanatical engineer who's sitting at home in his driving suit playing video games right now, figuring out how to build such a great quality car, right?
Yep. I mean, we're so proud of the heritage of having quality, durability, reliability, and we're continue to strive for that. And also customer satisfaction. I mean, I think in the luxury segment before, they was like, yeah, okay, you can take it or leave it. You come in and you don't. But, you know, our philosophy is always treat a customer as a guest in our own homes. So, you know, they can always come to us. Not the car that needs a service, but, you know, we want to make sure the car starts, whether it's below zero or 110 degrees. And, you know, it'll take you to point A to point B without a lot of maintenance.
Right. And we don't think about that necessarily here in L.A. because it's like 70 degrees 10 months a year, right?
Exactly.
So we don't think about all the durability testing that has to mm-hmm. go into the car.
Yeah.
Now, are we going to be able to see an ISF, like a real, not just the F-Sport package, mm-hmm. but an ISF at some point?
Well, you know, in Tokyo, we just unveiled the RC350,
okay.
which is the coupe version.
Of this?
I know they don't want us to say that. It's between an IS and GS. It's based on a GS platform with a GS suspension. You've driven the GS.
Yeah.
Phenomenal handling
vehicle.
Yeah,
I love that car.
So with a 350 powertrain, and in fact, in Europe and Japan, they're going to offer a hybrid variant, which we're not going to offer here in the States.
Okay. Because we like power.
Because we like power. We like muscle. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, somebody's going to shoehorn the 5-liter in there and make it a ISF or maybe a RCF.
Could be, right?
Yeah, it could be.
In a coupe form?
Yeah,
that'd be
absolutely.
Kind of awesome. So it's going to be a little bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
right? So a coupe version would be a little bit larger chassis than this.
Yes.
Not quite the GS, because if you took 4 inches out of the GS and made it a coupe and maybe added 2 inches to this, somewhere in between.
You got it.
You've got your...
With a wider tracks with better handling, shoulder wheelbase than a GS, so...
Okay.
Yep.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be a fun car.
That's going to be great.
Great. So what else? Is there anything else new here that you want to mention?
You know, unfortunately, we have a 2014 CT200H with minor changes. We're unveiling in Guangzhou, so we don't want to scoop our Chinese brothers in China right now.
Yeah, you got to wait for them to do it, and then you can pull the
show
off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It sucks when they get you to the end of the day, and at the end, you get the last press conference, and then, you know, and now you got to wait for the next day to do it. Unfortunately, we won't be here tomorrow, but hopefully we'll get some photos and stuff from you guys and be
Absolutely.
Able to show that off. But, Bill, thank you so much.
Thank you so
Always
much.
A
for
pleasure.
Coming. Yeah, same here. Thanks for coming by. I really appreciate your interest.
Thanks. Well, that just about covers it for the 2013 LA Auto Show. I think it's been a great show this year. I was really excited about the Jaguar F-Type R Coupe and the Audi RS7. I think it's going to be an animal. Be sure to check out our website, carcastshow.com, and all the photos we'll put up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/carcastshow. CarCast show. Thank you so much, and until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.